So we know that data use in Australia is soaring, and it's mostly thanks to our love of video streaming. According to the latest report from Telstra, we collectively watched over 9,000 years worth of Netflix in July. That's right. That's what we did. 9,000 years as a nation dedicated to Netflix in July. We are givers. Here to discuss it all is Angus Kidman. He's editor-in-chief at finder.com.au. Angus, I didn't mean to sound judgmental, although I was. How are you?
I'm excellent, thank you.
Hey, I contributed to that. Like, so I'm not judgmental of others, but I'm just like, what? What's up with us? So our data consumption for the last 5 years has been increasing by about 40% year on year. How is that growth being sustained? Like, where are we finding all this time?
Well, it's not just a question of finding time, because we are seeing quality improve. If you went back 5 years ago and looked at streaming options, you wouldn't have had Netflix at the time, but you could have looked at YouTube and various other things. You wouldn't have got the quality. We've moved into this era where, yeah, you can now get 4K from streaming services. So incredibly high definition stuff that you can we can watch on these enormous televisions that we've chosen to put into our lounge rooms. So it's not just a question of that we're watching more stuff, although we are definitely watching more streaming overall, but also that, yeah, we're seeing it in higher quality. It's no longer looking like it's a postage stamp that flickers quite a lot.
Telstra says it noted data use increased by nearly 50% as people switched from ADSL to NBN. Is the NBN changing how we use the internet? I mean, a lot of negative stories come out about the NBN, but is it actually transforming our relationship with you know, streaming and doing all of this?
Yeah, it definitely has an impact, and in several ways. In some cases, you know, we hear about when the NBN doesn't work, but if you were on a fairly slow copper connection and only had a choice of one provider, then moving to something that offers higher speeds and that's more reliable and you've got more choice is going to, yeah, it is going to represent an improvement. And we have seen that particularly in the last year where we've had changes to the way the NBN sold so that it's actually become more affordable to get the faster plans. So with all of that going on, yes, it has driven a switch. And I mean, honestly, you know, the figures that Telstra's got, but I feel like they're a bit on the low side. They reflect the fact that Telstra hasn't always had the most generous plans, and that people who really wanted a lot of data have probably jumped off somewhere else and are probably using even more. So they're going to be going through a lot more hours than you might suspect from these figures.
Okay, so 9,000 years or 81 million hours worth of Netflix in July.
Definitely on the low side. It's going to be higher than that.
Oh, wow. So not even near our peak.
Nowhere near our peak, and yeah, that figure will just, it's always been dangerous to say, oh yeah, we've got enough. Every time people say, oh no, you don't need that, oh, you don't need fast data.
When do people go to uni and work? Like, when do people find the time? Sorry, that's another story, isn't it? Like, that's the bit that, is this why we're having all these problems with sleeping? Actually, we've had sleep experts come on and talk about that. Like, this is like a giant, there's so many tentacles to this story.
There are many, many tentacles, but at the same time, yeah, in the era when we weren't doing this, we were watching far more free-to-air television. So somehow we still managed to do that and go to our jobs. So we've managed to
survive.
But
was it 9,000 years worth?
I swear, if you actually had, that sounds awful. When you divide it by the population, that still only came out to 3 or 4 hours a week. There's still plenty of time to be doing other things.
All right. Okay, I'll stop being judgmental. 9 million. Okay. Many Australians chewing through that data may have used Google Chrome, which is also in the news. It's just marked its 10th birthday. Happy birthday, double digits. How did it go from being sort of a latecomer in the browser wars to the most used browser in the world?
Well, it had a couple of things going for it. When Chrome first showed up, it was a lot faster and more efficient, and it updated itself. And some of the existing browsers at that time, they were really slow and clunky. And then the thing that's kept people addicted to it is that if you're in Chrome and you're signed in and you're using your Google account, it knows about you. It knows what you're interested in. You don't have to remember all those addresses because it remembers the places you've gone before. So it's kind of got its tentacles into our lives, and that's really how it's become the dominant browser. It still is a very good browser, but so are most of the others. They all do the same thing. But it's the fact that Chrome, for the most part, knows about you that has actually really resulted in it being sticky, I think.
And a new look Chrome has been unveiled today, and we've learned that it will mark websites that use HTTP as not secure. Why is it losing its security label?
Well, it wants to highlight to people, hey, if you're going to a site that doesn't have secure communication, which is HTTPS, but it basically means, hey, things are encrypted as we send it to you, it's saying, hey, you'd want to think about that. If it's a site you're just reading information on, that may not be a problem, but it really wants to draw people's attention to that because you've previously been able, that was indicated by a little padlock in the address bar, but I guarantee 90% of people didn't even see that it was there or know what it was. So sometimes you've got to be a bit more explicit and say to people, hey, you might want to think about this before you start typing in your credit card details. Doesn't mean people won't sometimes do that, but if it can cut down on the number of people who inadvertently share the wrong information, then that's a positive step, I think.
Okay. Little baby incremental positive step, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, we're not going to overstate it, are we? Now, on a completely different topic, although, you know, everything's related in some way, the president of the International Olympic Committee says multiplayer video games or esports are too violent to be part of the Olympics. Were they ever really a chance?
I think esports were. Esports are massively popular and there are big leagues of people playing these kind of things. I think the important distinction here and sort of what I think got lost in a lot of the reporting around these remarks was the notion that violent games would not be suitable for part of the Olympics. So games which are first-person shooters are the obvious category. What you're doing is lining up to, you know, shoot virtual other human beings on a screen. They would not be considered suitable. They're not the only kind of esports that exist. There are esports that are simulations of real sports. There are kind of fantasy-based games which don't work like that and that involve strategy. And I, given the massive growth we've seen in people playing those things, I think at some point some of those will probably end up in the Olympics. It's just a question of which games they deem suitable, not so much whether you can do esports.
Ooh, big call there, Angus Kidman. So you think there is an inevitability about this?
Yeah, I think, yeah, the Olympics has always had to reflect the sports and the activities that people that compete in and that are popular. So things come and things go. And I would be amazed if in, you know, 10 years' time we're not seeing that. If it's not in the Olympics, it's going to be everywhere else and the pressure will be on. Ultimately, people like watching these things. There's huge audiences watching those online. And so in the end, whoever pays for the broadcast rights to the Olympics is probably going to demand that there's esports in there, if only for that reason.
I can't get my head around people who, like, I just can't watch other people online playing video games. At least play it yourself. Like, who wants to watch someone else play it? Are you with me?
No, because I'd say that about AFL.
Good point. Although that is actually physically harder. Although, okay, that deserves an entire discussion on its own. Angus, we haven't got enough time. See you later.
See ya.